Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 9th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you and glad to have those joining us live. We appreciate you joining us and your input. And thanks to those catching up in the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, before getting into tonight's topic, we're going to start with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic is going to be a very interesting one, the how-tos of intuitive readings. And I think everybody coming to the table knows that, Dr. Vicki, you're going to be doing some heavy lifting on this one tonight, but...
It's okay. You know, it's as best as we can explain it. How about that?
And I think, you know, that's really... What a great way to say it, because in the vast mystery that is existence, what about these little intuitive kind of... inklings that we get sometimes, and some far more powerful than others. But, you know, so how would you kind of, to a layperson, to somebody who is not really familiar with the world of intuitive reading and tarot and things such as that, how would you explain it to them?
Well, I guess the best way to put it is if somebody comes to me and they've never had a reading before, I say, look, I just get thoughts and feelings and I give you the information as best as I can, and you interpret it as you see fit and incorporate it into your life as you choose, because there's no absolutes, right?
Hi, everybody. We are back. The gremlins got into the machines somewhere out there in the internets, wherever they exist. They were, you know, chewing some wires. Who knows what happened, but we lost our signal for a minute there. And I'm so sorry, Dr. Hunter. You were kind of going into explaining.
I know
what...
it was wise and profound, Michael.
Oh, so much is lost to history now. Things that would go on.
I know. All I was saying is that when I read for somebody for the first time, I just give my little speech, and whether they've had a reading before or not, they're coming to me, which is different, I think, because every reader is different. Everyone has their own way of interpreting, their own way of understanding and presenting, because everybody has their own, you know, brain file. It's your psychology, too, and how you view life. So, because, you know, reality is subjective. So I already know my way is going to be different from your way or somebody else's way, right? And that's the way it should be, because we all have something different to deliver, something different to share. So that's that. But I think the first distinction to make in my reality is autosensory perception versus intuition. Now, autosensory perception being the vibes you get from others. And when people say they're empaths, absolutely, I'm on the same program, but that's autosensory perception. In other words, that's a feeling activated when you're in the presence of other people.
Right.
Now, even at a distance, you can feel somebody else's energy, their emotions, and it can be thought of as an ASP by tuning in to feelings, but it's still intuitive because you're remote, if that
right.
makes sense. So, in other words, there's no logical reason, there's reasoning to getting feelings or thoughts or pictures or vibes. So it's kind of like if you go into a room and you get a vibe, that's autosensory perception.
Mm-hmm.
And you get emotions and things, that's empathy, empaths. And a lot of people are very empathetic, so they pick up on emotions very easily.
Oh, yeah.
And stories, so that's, but there's reasons for it because you're now in the same room. There's the ventromedial prefrontal cortex of your brain, that third eye, that senses energy. Now, we can relate to that with animals a lot, you know, very perceptive, sensitive, but we don't understand that we are also.
Right.
And that's organic.
Well, and, you know, I wonder, again, about that, perhaps, touch of shared human consciousness, but a lot of it is, too, you know, the ability to, understand another person's position from your own perspective and your own experiences. But one thing I will say, I don't know if I'm a true empath in the sense that I, you know, just pick up on people's feelings through the consciousness grid, I'll call it, or if I just mimic them based on what I gauge that they're feeling, based on, you know, facial cues, body language, tone of voice, things like that.
But still, I've always autosensory perception, Michael, and being empathetic. It still is.
Right. But exactly. So, you know, any of that coming over the wire, or is it just kind of a mix of both?
I think it's probably a mix of everything, you know, and you wouldn't be able to read body language if you weren't an empath. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
The more hypersensitive you are, that's your autosensory perception, the more observant you become.
So. What? This is going to be an odd turn, but we're talking about empathy. I know this is not going to be the main focus of this evening, and I know we have to get on to our, you know, kind of yeah. the more in-depth section of what tonight's discussion is going to be here soon. But a thought just occurred to me, and I have to get it out. Can a sociopath have any kind of connection to the empathetic grid? I mean, they perceive, they
That's,
understand, they just don't care. Is that one way to look at it?
My understanding of sociopathic behaviors is they don't feel it, but they can observe it and mimic it.
Right.
And that's, you know, they scrutinize behavior to be able to strategize manipulation. So they're observant and very smart, generally. But that doesn't mean they have empathy and are empathetic.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it.
So, it's
well,
Wendy's saying in the chat, she's always been sensitive to others, and I really do not like it. She says.
Oh, I know.
You know, and that's the thing. You can learn to tune it out. So this is where we're going to segue into the difference between this and intuition. You can learn to filter that, Wendy. And it's really just sometimes certain techniques of visualizing help, like a white light around your sad self, or it's to just tune out. You know, I kind of put a ball of energy around myself and I totally discard other people. I go into a grocery store, get what I need to. That doesn't mean my senses can't detect danger, because they can. I'm just not going to tune into people. I think number one, it's a violation, but it's violating myself too. So you can learn to better manage that.
Mm-hmm.
And even in conversations, learn to manage it. I've learned though for myself, I don't like being particularly social. I'm not good in big groups because it's so much work to filter it. And I'm good at one-on-one, small gatherings, and I have total control over myself in that way, management.
Right.
But with intuition, and this is where I think it kind of does overlap, is intuition is knowing something without any logical reasoning, if I can say it in that way. Like if you're with somebody and you get a feeling about them, let's say Wendy, you get a feeling about somebody, it's good or bad, danger, safety, but then you start getting little visuals of something that's in their life. A picture of, you know, oh yes, that one's married, but even though they're not wearing a ring. That's intuition. You're now tuning into more fundamental things about them and how they live life, but it's more than empathy. I think what we have to, the disclaimer I want to say here, don't, again, the biggest error I think that a lot of readers make, people maybe in general, not just saying readers, is assuming other people feel like you do.
Mm-hmm.
That we have to understand that not everybody interprets or relates to emotions or feelings as we do. Pain is subjective.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
And don't pretend to understand something when you've never had the experience. So you can assume a little bit about it, but you don't know what it is, but still intuitively have enough of an open mind to say, oh, there's a picture that's really foreign to me, and go with the picture, because now you're into intuition. So if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I think absolutely.
Intuition is that knowing something, and again, I know I'm being redundant, but it's really important that I get this across, knowing something without any logical explanation. And the problem with this, and my old teacher, late teacher, Frank Appleyard, would say, the problem with it is it's not repeatable.
hard to measure.
Everything is changing. So emotion doesn't repeat itself the same way twice.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Well, there are so many variables to everything about the human experience, or just awareness. Every living thing's experience, there are so many things that go into it, and just the smallest of shifts can send you in a different direction.
Well, and this is largely why a lot of psychic testing doesn't necessarily prove the results that, let's say, science would hope for.
Right.
How do you measure emotion and recreate the same stimuli? So even if I've had a new experience now and I respond this way, I have that same experience tomorrow, I'm not going to respond the same way because I've already had the experience.
Right.
So emotion is not repeatable in that way. You can have repeating similar emotions, but every time you do, it's going to have different stimuli with it, as you say, Michael. So intuitively, I think that if you're going to go get a reading or you're doing readings, it's important to be in the sensible, empathetic, but intuitive place all simultaneously. I know that it's kind of bizarre, but
well, everything's about the balance between different aspects of a thing to achieve, you know, the real focus.
Well, and being able to tune into the right frequency. So I think this is a pretty good point, Michael, to tell people if you want, you're going to have to really pay attention to this, Michael, for me while I'm talking, if you don't mind. Anybody who would like cards pulled, we're going to get right started here. So put your name in the chat. I'll try to write down as I'm talking. But
yeah, I'll be keeping a list. I will check it twice.
Okay. I know I've told this story before and on this program, but I'm going to tell it again. Very early in my life, I had this experience that taught me about frequencies and energy. And it was 1976, living in Edmonton, going to Vancouver, visiting friends, and I had booked a reading with a woman at 2 o'clock, and I was headed for the train at six, so to head back to Edmonton. So what happened was, I got those, you know, backpack going, and it thought, well, okay, I'll phone the woman out to see if I can get in early. Well, lo and behold, I phoned her. Yes, I had a cancellation. Come now. So at 11 o'clock, I had this session with her, and she started talking about stuff that was completely foreign to me. I absolutely could not, and I said, that's not me. You know, everything that she told me was like some other alien being to me. So I left really disappointed because I had heard so many things about this woman. Meanwhile, get to the train. I get there a bit early. Now, back in those days, there's two seats on one side of the aisle, two seats on the other. So I got a window seat. I'm getting cozy, got my book, you know, so on. As before I knew it, everything was filled up. People were standing room only, trying mm-hmm. to figure out seating, and this couple wanted to sit together. This is what's really important here to, for me, because it's one of those moments that could have gone any which way. And I said, you know what? Here, take these two seats, I'll move, and I'll go sit with this other lady a few, you know, rows back. I didn't get my window seat. At least, you know, that couple could sit together. We did kind things like that back then, Michael.
And we still do.
We do.
My generation. But, I don't know about yours, but
So as I get talking with this girl, and we're having this conversation, I said, and I just babbled, like just blurted out to say, I went for this reading with this woman today, and it was completely off guard. Like, I'm really confused because it wasn't me. Oh, did you? I was supposed to have a reading with this woman at 11 o'clock, but I had to cancel because I had a luncheon. And my mouth dropped and looked at her and I said, you wouldn't be on your way to New York, would you? Yes, yes. Oh, man, facepalm. I said, this is your reading. So I told her everything. You're a gemologist. Your family is gemology. You have a jewelry store. You're going to marry this guy. You're going to have two kids. Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah, you know, my father's a gemologist. I've been working with him in the business, blah, blah, blah. Michael, I was glad for her, disappointed for me.
Yeah, I mean, really.
Did somebody get $20 for that reading? And she wasn't paying me.
I was going to ask you if she was going to reimburse you. Like, oh, here.
No, yeah. She didn't. But I got home, and my late teacher Magda, that's like the first phone call I made when I got home, and I went for tea, and I told her this story, and she said, "Oh," she said, "you got in her frequency." She said that reader didn't change. In other words, that reader was still plugged into that woman. She didn't clear her energy. You came in, you got this other woman's reading. And that was like such a foreign thought to me about being able to making sure you tune into that individual. Because we all get information randomly all the time. How do you then interpret that? But this is a scheduled appointment. And ever since then, I have been very conscientious. Now, it has happened to me very early in my reader life where I've had two people sitting at a table. They're very close and, you know, really good friends and so on. Mm-hmm. But information I'm giving to one woman actually belongs to the other woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I've developed various strategies over the years to do my best to tune into one individual. So even when we do these Wednesday night programs, Michael, I have a white piece of paper. I write the date on the top of the paper. So, hello, Cosmic. We're in February 9th, 2022. And I write everybody's names down, and I write down the cards, and I go with that flow. And it's being plugged in. So, you know, we talk about you know, all being connected in the universe. Mm-hmm. We are. So it's being able to get the frequency right.
Is it a universal energy that you're tapping into, or is it the human shared consciousness kind of thing, the super consciousness of, you know, intelligent beings, or is it just simply a universal connectivity between everything?
I don't know, Michael.
Well, why not?
I know. I look, and I know Teresa's with us tonight. Thank you, Teresa, for being here tonight. Last week was fabulous, having Teresa as a guest. And I'm sure Teresa would agree with this, to say the older I got, the less I know.
Well, I think, yes. My father always used to have a saying when I was young, a teenager, you know, 18, 19, he says, you know, you better go out and do everything now while you still know everything. And yeah, isn't that the truth? I will agree to that trend, and I will doubly agree to the sheer pleasure of having Teresa as a guest joining us last week. Thank you so much. And, you know, looking forward to maybe you know, a little something in the future. I know that Teresa herself is a reader, so we might inviting her back here.
And maybe Teresa would come back and help us do readings, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That would be awesome. Ooh, we'd have three witches. Yeah, so now you're a witch, warlock.
That's fine.
I think where I'm going with this is plugging in and then giving information that we think is helpful. We're going to get empathy.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, to be empaths, we're going to get... you know, some stuff that feels vague. And thank you, Teresa. Entanglement might be my explanation. Like she's saying, her explanation. I agree. And then it's that whatever else comes into the picture. So let's get started, and I'll try to explain a little bit as we go. I think we have Raven first.
Yes, that's what I have as well. So, I know we're doing this a little bit differently, but I'm going to do the 1-2 punch with the Inner Oracle and the Tarot still.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right, Raven, number 36, gratitude. Gratitude is the joy one feels in the heart when the mind awakens to the gifts of life, no matter how seemingly small or insignificant. The truest essence of love lives within the feeling of gratitude. Desiring a connection with all life while giving freely without want for return. Gratitude is benevolence that wants to give forward. Take a compliment with graciousness and good manners when gratitude is extended.
So, I have the tarot cards spread across the desk in front of me. And as Michael is talking, I'm tuning into Raven. I kind of rush my fingers across the cards, and one, it just stops, it's automatic. And when I pick the Five of Hearts for you, Raven, gratitude with the Five of Hearts, or that Five of Cups in tarot language, is contemplative, and feeling those moments of being contemplative, and where you want to go from here. Because part of that Five of Hearts is taking inventory. And before you move forward, like any five number wants to look forward to something, but at this particular moment, it's taking inventory of all that you have, being grateful for that, and looking ahead. Now, this is where I'm going to explain something. That may seem kind of vague to anybody listening. You know, what does that mean? It might mean something to Raven. You see, other people would say, well, that kind of whatever. Mm-hmm. Maybe anybody could relate to that, Michael. You know?
Well, but
again, vague, right? If I take a reading further, it's getting very specific details that sometimes pop in my head. So where do things come from that, you know, is it the Akashic Records? Is it human consciousness? Where does that come from? Sometimes it's spirits talking in my head. That's the only way I can explain that. A voice will come. Raven is just saying in the chat right now, it's very specific for her. She relates to what's being said. Thanks for that, Raven, by the way. That was a quick response in the chat. So it's, I might get something else, right now I want to, I'll say, and you can correct me if you get to it fast enough, Raven, in the chat, is it's not just job-wise, but it's in your personal life as well. So it's kind of everything, looking at everything that you have and where you want to go, all these little parts and how do they fit for what you see as the future. So maybe she can answer that. So let's move on, because I think we have Edward. We have a lot of names here.
We do.
Edward is next, Michael. So,
all right. And for Dr. Edward, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. Good message.
It is. Now, but with the seven of cups there, in support of that, Edward, that seven of hearts, I would say that maybe as recent as the last few days, and again, this is where I have to go quickly in my brain and not second guess myself, not overanalyze it myself, just let it come, is you may have been disappointed in something or someone. So an increased awareness here, but that seven likes details. And in the hearts is like studying the details of the heart. So that again, seven of hearts can be like hundreds of things. Random things are coming into my head of what applies right now at this moment to Edward supporting the awareness symbol. So where you might, Edward, you might have been disappointed or disillusioned, you became more aware of something, and so you might just be realigning yourself at the moment. So it's just that, it's just, again, a realignment. So, and it just lasts for a moment. It's in this moment today, not something that's going to last forever. It's just my sense is the last few days that something may have come to light, so to speak. So where does that come from, Michael? I have no idea. And I couldn't begin to tell you, except I could give you a lot of theories, but they would just be theories.
And that's, you know, I think the most interesting questions you can ask are the ones that we can't answer. But, you know, it's an interesting theory to me that it is the fact that time is not the way that we think it is. And it doesn't function the way that we necessarily think it does. That could be another aspect to it as well. I do find it interesting, that kind of intuition that you can kind of can peer into a certain situation. I also love when we're pulling cards, and you know, we have another one coming up here soon for Dr. Kevin. The one thing that I love about, you know, kind of the universe trying to tell us something is through probability, mathematical probability.
Exactly.
And so, you know, I hope, you know, that we have some good messages. Well, I know that we have some good messages in the inner oracle decks. I hope that it connects, but I think it's the mathematical probability of, you know, pulling that card for you, just the chances of it.
Well, I want to thank Raven for affirming what was said to her. I appreciate that. And even Edward now, you know, affirming it in the chat. See, for me, I'm just hoping I'm plugged into you. Mm-hmm. And it tells me, especially in the beginning of pulling cards, that, hey, I'm tuned in, we're on a game. Because
right.
I don't always know. And even in readings, when I sit down with somebody, I say, oh, this is what I'm seeing, and I talk for maybe 2 or 3 minutes, and I say, does that make sense to you? And yes, that's all I need to know. I don't want any more information. I'm just going to go with it as long as I'm plugged in. Plugging in that accurate frequency is the most important thing when you start. Okay, so that's so I don't have you, Michael. I don't have Audra. I've got, you know, Edward, right?
Right.
And that's why I always do my best to do these in the order that they come up in the chat. Sometimes I know in the past we kind of got thrown off, and I kind of shake up the cobwebs in my head and say, okay, reconfigure frequency. And sometimes I really do picture that happening in my head because I want to be true to that individual. So, and then I got to trust the spirits or the universe or whatever that they're doing their thing. So I think Kevin is next. Michael, we've got one
right
for Kevin.
All right, let's see if the universe holds its end. And Dr. Kevin, I have number 10, the indomitable power of the human spirit.
Mm.
The human spirit is unequaled in power. Nothing can defeat it. Within your creative ability, you are a powerhouse of energy that can be channeled into any endeavor. Given time, nothing is out of reach for you. Claim your power and live up to your human potential. Apply your powerful spirit to overcoming whatever obstacles stand in your way.
You know, at the moment, Kevin, this is saying just stay balanced. The Two of Diamonds or the Two of Pentacles is, you might feel like you're in a juggling act of life somehow, you know, and feeling a little bit tired. But this is the affirmation that you are really strong and you have an enormity of energy in yourself, that power of the human spirit. And right now might be a time of just regaining some balance and go through the flow, you know, when you just need to have a rhythm. And what, and this is where intuition kind of expands for me, I'm saying it's just for the next few days. You know, and maybe by the weekend, do something nice for yourself where your brain can relax. And again, regenerating that that emotional, spiritual energy. And but your body also needs to be considered. So I hope in some way that makes sense for you. So that indomitable power of the human spirit is there. You can overcome anything. Right now, this is just saying you're in a balancing act. That's okay. So nothing to worry about. And you are regaining that power to put, you know, it's like increase the energy. So you get your, all your energy back. Again, I hope that makes sense.
I like it. Rejuvenation, part of the cycle.
Yeah. Absolutely. So all let's right. go with Ronnie next, Michael.
And for Ronnie, we have number 42, trust in integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and a trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
A very strange thing just happened to me, Ronnie. I wrote down trust, integrity next to your name, and I started to write the Six of Diamonds here. Six of Pentacles, and I wrote a V. Now, I don't know what V means to you. It's not just because that's my name. I start to write a V, and I'm not sure if there's someone in your life who's got that letter V in their first or last name, or it's the name of a place, but that there's a word here I'm looking for that starts with a V. So just think about that, because part of it is trust and integrity about matters of finances, the coming and going of money. And what I want to say is there might be a disappointment in what's not been returned to you or given to you what's due. I don't know, it might be something as simple as you loan somebody some money and not gotten it back yet. Maybe it's as simple as that. And so it's, but again, my point here is you are getting value for value. It's sometimes you just have to trust yourself that everything is going okay, you know. And again, that's how in previous times I know I've had feelings about maybe it's somebody else isn't behaving with certain trust and integrity, but there's so many ways to interpret this, Michael. So that's, I have to go with the first thing that comes to my mind for Ronnie. And again, keeping in mind, February 9th, 2022 is at the top of my page. I've written this down. There's something, and I just let that flow. So
I have to imagine there's...
Zach says, V Roman numbers. That's true.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Zach.
Very true. Roman numbers. Very true. And I think it's got to be that you were talking about what comes first. I think that's really important when you're trying to be intuitive. It's not overthinking it. It's being channeled into that one, you know, part of your mind as opposed to overanalyzing things, which is maybe the biggest reason I'm not a natural intuitive, because I tend to overanalyze everything. But...
you are intuitive, Michael. You just don't see how intuitive you are.
Ah, you're too kind.
So Zach has said, for the Roman numbers, V is a 5. And
yep.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe, Ronnie, there's something here in a 5 number for you. So consider that V, 5, and how it works. And again, if we're doing a reading in more time, I could go into that, but again, press for it. This is very quick, spontaneous, quick message. Here you go. Pay attention to those things. I don't know. Maybe it's $5 million she's getting, Michael.
Hey.
Who knows?
Hey. Don't
anyway,
forget your friends.
That's right. Let's go with Jeff next, shall we?
All right. I have number 38.
Well, can I stop for a sec, everybody?
Oh, of course.
Jeff just had his 50th birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
So, happy birthday. Happy birthday, before I forget, because I knew I would. So, what did you get?
All right, for Dr. Jeff, I have number 38, open-mindedness.
Okay.
An open mind is sensible and grounded. An open mind avoids preconceived notions, especially ones that are based on a personal agenda, a pet theory, or a preferred belief. An open mind is not gullible or credulous. Rather, an open mind thinks critically and searches for additional possibilities. It absorbs knowledge and searches for all credible solutions and conclusions.
And in support of that, the Empress. Now, in literal terms, Empress is fertility. Okay? Metaphorically, symbolically, it's seed planting and growth. This is the overseer of all new life and new things that come to life. So when you have open-mindedness and the Empress, Jeff, is be open-minded to a different expression of the same thing as something that you want to do. Okay? That's where I'm going with this. So, in other words, there may be something that you'd like to do, but you hadn't thought of doing it in a particular way. It's saying remain open-minded to those possibilities. And at this time, now, because, Wendy says Jeff had this card back in January.
Not terribly long ago.
There you go.
Mathematical probability showing itself.
See, there you go. That, see how bizarre that is? Sometimes it boggles my mind, too. So I think that, I wanted to say, Jeff, you're now in your 52 days after the birthday is the one for, it's really good for self-promotion, so consider that. There's 7 52-day cycles in a year, according to H. Spencer Lewis, and I've been following that since the 70s, and, you know, there's, I see a lot of truth in it, so... I'm excited for you, Jeff. There's some new things stirring.
Very exciting.
Remain open-minded.
And, you know, thank you to people giving feedback in the chat.
Yeah.
You know, definitely like to hear Dr. Kevin pointed out that it connects very well. And, you know, it's very interesting. Thank you, Ronnie, for your feedback as well. Keeping an eye out for V5. And, yeah, trust and integrity, critical. Absolutely,
yep.
Agree with you on that. All right, and I think we're ready for Jamil.
Let's go.
All right, Jamil. I have number 34, take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
Well, this is most bizarre. I did shuffle the cards and I refound them. And this, again, sometimes I shake my head with the tarot. This is why I have such a love affair with it. I pulled out the Six of Diamonds. That came out tonight already. Two popped out together. The Empress came out with it. I kid you not, Michael. So I've pulled both those symbols earlier. They are now wanting to talk for Jamil. Take and release ownership. I guess what this wants to say to me is you're making some decisions, Jamil, about perhaps work, career, finances, what responsibilities belong to you and what don't. What do you need to relinquish in order to get on with the things that you would like to do? Because I'm seeing some big opportunities coming. And I'd like you to consider March 6th for some reason, but I also want to go to, okay, I'm just going to go with it, June 15th. So in this next few months, this time period, learning how to let go of control, not trying to control others, you know, again, taking and releasing ownership of all those things that Michael just said, it's going to be really important to how you move forward. So don't take on more than what's yours. Make sure you get value for value. You know, you're just kind of taking inventory of all those things. And once there's just something that's going to go aha, and everything's going to flow easier. That's, you know, fall into place. That's what I get with that.
All right. And we have our card keeper up next, Wendy.
All right.
And Wendy, you'll have to tell me, being the card keeper, but I feel like this has come up before, and it's a wild card, number 5, don't hate. A low energy signature refuses to learn more in order to better accept and understand others. Hate grows in this low frequency. The result is fear, demonstrated as the need to criticize and control others. This is how wars begin, whether it's in relationships, within families, or between countries. Understanding does not mean one has to agree. It means rising above the low frequency to do no harm, do right, to self and others. Always a good card, but I know Wendy, and she definitely is not a hater.
No, she's not, but you know, the world's crazy.
True
you
enough.
You know, there's so much stress, you know, when you go to work dealing with people, and it's, you know, and navigating that. And Wendy, it's just an affirmation to you in keeping in balance. So that Two of Diamonds. What it wants to say here, again, intuition, I'm going with these flashes. I don't ordinarily do this kind of thing on this program because, you know, it's kind of risky. But I feel like your body needs some extra, I don't know, vitamins, iron, something just to bring that up. So, and I guess in relation to don't hate is if our nutrients are lower, we're more sensitive and on edge, if that makes sense. Low iron makes you, you know, anybody feel a little bit off. But it's just, you know, green food or something, lifting that up, and I think you'll feel organically better, physically better. But it's just hang in there. You know how to navigate it. Set that affirmation here that you're doing fine. That's honestly, that's what I feel about that.
Very nice. My iron is so low based on that. All right. Well, thank you, Wendy pointed out that that card was pulled recently, just last month, but not for Wendy, and that clarifies it. But we have Audra up next. Let's see.
Excuse me, Jeff. Sorry, I'm going to just interrupt here, Michael.
Oh, sure.
Jeff had those same cards a month ago, and Audra made a comment that, you know, it's in the cycles of life. If Jeff got that when he was, you know, so many days ago, and now it's another 52 days, it's just that repeat that this will be the time for Jeff to move ahead. Now, Wendy just said she just a few days ago told somebody that she needed to start taking her iron again. Thanks for that feedback, you guys. Again, I'm not saying for a second that, because I'm always in awe of how this works too. I have had to humble myself to these experiences, interacting with people, and I've learned, for the grace of age too, to be more humbled, appreciative, and awed by, you know, people and the privilege of sharing space and energy with them. And I mean that sincerely. It blows my mind.
You know what blows my mind is how much energy comes across the digital format. You know, you and I, we talk with one another. We can see each other on Skype before and after the program. But even the energy that you get from, you know, people in the chat, you know, Wendy, Audra, talking with you, Dr. Jeff, all the feedback we get, you can get an energy from that. And it's
absolutely,
it's interesting how human connection works. It's fascinating.
Is. Entanglement, as Teresa reminded us earlier, too.
Absolutely.
And
great.
How we're plugged into these frequencies. It's
crazy. I love it.
Good stuff. Audra is next. Okay, let's go, Audra.
All right, Audra. You got number 17, reinvention.
Oh, good one.
Nothing is more powerful or transformative than self-reinvention, resulting in a personal identity foundation shift. Far-reaching and profound, such a personal reinvention shifts the foundation of your self-concept from external to internal, which in turn is vital to your future success and happiness. Re-examine your core values, ensuring they are healthy. Answer the questions, what do I call a good day? And what else in my life should be reinvented?
Audra, I like the tower, but... Audra, sorry, I have to sidetrack here. Audra's saying, yeah, hurry up here, you're killing me. Waiting.
That's famous Sandlot reference. Loving it.
I shouldn't have read the chat before I was on a roll here. Reinvention and the tower, to me, have a really strong relationship, because the tower is different from, let's say, the death symbol, where it's complete rebirth. The tower says getting rid of anything that is extraneous, doesn't belong to you anymore, but you have a foundation. So you could be reinventing yourself in some ways, Audra, that maybe even giving up some habits or thoughts because you're needing more space for other things. When I first saw that, then I pulled another one, and it's the Ten of Diamonds. Now, Ten of Pentacles. So I think part of this reinvention is your career escalating, your career growing, and what do you need to add to it? Audra just said the tower is usually good for her. It goes well with the previous. Thanks for that, Audra. What is it that you want to now, you know, advance in, move forward in? What do you need to give up? Maybe there's some extra education here too that you want to take to advance yourself. So a tower of rebuilding, that reinvention, that's kind of exciting. I think it's exciting. I don't see it as a negative. At this point, Mike, I'd like to explain to people, mm-hmm. I do not read the tarot upside down. Never have.
Is that a technique?
Well, earlier in my life, you know, again, I've been so blessed to have some really crazy, wonderful mentors and teachers in my life. Magda wouldn't read them upside down either. And she said, and again, with my early hypnosis training with Frank, is all in behavior and how we do things. So who's to say you shuffled right? Who's to say you passed them right? Who's to say you received them the right way? And then how you're flipping cards. Now, I've had a lot of readers tell me, well, I do it the same way every time. Yeah, well, who's to say upside down isn't right side up? Mm-hmm. And it gets so convoluted that a reader can't be sure. And that's why, in order to be sure, I put them all right side up. And this is where I think it makes a reader work harder. I'm the first one to say that. Because every symbol has, you know, both aspects, negative and positive. So my job is to tune into what those aspects are talking about when they show up. Like, again, let's say I have the tower here. The tower can have 100 different adjectives, and 3 want to speak to me. It's my job to find those 3. So if the tower is upside down, that means nothing to me. Honestly, it means nothing except that it's upside down. And that's why I can't read in those reverse positions, because it confuses me, because I don't know if somebody, if I turned that card right, they handed them to me right, and I get confused. Yeah, I have one simple system. What does that symbol want to say in all its possibilities? And I think that's where the card is next to each other. And what's really good about you pulling the inner oracle cards, Michael, mm-hmm. is that I already have that plug-in to get the support.
Yeah, that's an interesting notion too. And, you know, you were talking about, you know, things that some other people do, but it doesn't, you know, doesn't make sense to you, doesn't work for you. And I think that there is no standard uniform human. There's no standard uniform life. It's ever changing, always changing. Yes. It's a constant. Therefore, there will be different approaches for different people. You know, there are many ways to get to the same destination of sorts. Yeah. And it's about what's going to be fitting best for you. And, you know, you have the best track record of, you know, intuitiveness that I've ever observed. So I would put stock in it.
I want to say, as Zach is saying in the chat, because Zach and I have had these discussions in the past. He says, quote, "We can talk forever on that discussion, reversals or not. I practice with reversals, but some readers do not. It goes with Dr. Vicky's explanation that every reader is different." And he puts hearts there. You knock yourself out, Zach. I mean, you have your way of doing things. I've always said that to you. But that's, you know, there's, for me as a reader, there's way too many variables and possibilities, because my analytical mind then goes into questioning, what if they didn't hand those cards to me right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe you don't question that, and you can just go with the flow, and that works for you. That's cool. I got to do it my way, because to me, I think it's, I trust this way better. That's all. So if other, lots of readers have lots of different layouts, they have lots of different methods and interpretations, they use different cards, but then we can get into another discussion that everything can be used as a tool for intuition. But before we talk about that for a sec, I want to inject here that Audra just said about her work, her store is closing and they haven't told her what's happening yet. Or the team. So when I said that reinvention the tower and work related, thanks for that feedback and sharing that, Audra. That's very cool.
Very interesting. Very interesting. All right.
So and what I wanted to say though, Michael, is I love the tarot, but I can read anything. It's not about just the tarot. It's not just about, it's intuition. In this program, the demonstration of this is, because it's so fast, I don't have to think too long to find an intuitive thought for somebody. The tarot just helps me. That triggers it automatically. When I have done readings for people without a tool, then they don't think it's a reading.
Really?
They think it's just a conversation and I'm blowing smoke.
Sure. That is an interesting thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think it's obviously it's not a prop, it's something that helps plug into a specific frequency at times, but you've also had intuition that isn't tied to a card or something like that.
All the time. That's how I started when I was a girl. I just knew stuff.
Yeah.
And I had to learn not to tell people because it got me in a lot of trouble. Now,
the truth is a dangerous thing.
But that was why someone gave me my first deck of tarot cards. And, oh, man, that was just a relationship made in heaven for me. Now, when I have, I'll give you an example. Again, a long time ago, a woman came to me and said, I'd like you to put the cards away, and I would just like you to go with the flow and tell me whatever you see. Yeah, that's how I used to do readings. I don't mind. Close my eyes for a second, tune in, here we go. Oh, that, yeah, that totally makes sense. Wonderful. Now, I know this isn't a real reading, but can I donate something for this? And I went, you know, oh, stick a carrot in my forehead, please. You know, I have learned, and Magda said it too, bless her heart, that have to use a tool. It is that middle place for people. It makes everyone more comfortable. It gives that credibility. And if you're ever in trouble, say, hey, the cards are saying it, not me. You know, blame the cards.
Yeah.
There's other, lots of other nuances in that. But it's the intuition. And that's what we are a very gifted species, you know, if we can see how creative we can be. And again, that
cuts both ways.
Yeah, it's that other fifth element, you know, that spirit, spirit energy.
Yeah, cult classic film, exactly.
What I would like to do, if I'm gonna, I don't mean to put Teresa on the spot, we'll email later, but it would be exciting for me just as an experiment, because I love to experiment. Is have a three-way reading session for people, for you to pull a card, me to pull a card, and Teresa, and find her take, because that would also, you know, give our room here, you know, our people who are in the chat and listening in the archives, hear somebody else's take on things and how, you know, they translate messages. So
that's very interesting. Yeah, I think that we'll have to reach out and, you know, our people, me, will be contacting your people and we'll get everything scheduled up. But I think that would be wonderful. Absolutely.
And then she'll send an invoice to Teresa is saying, people believe in the cards, tea leaves, palms, I Ching, etc. They also allow a reader to unhook the chattering brain and listen for intuitive messages. That's a great way to put it, Teresa.
Mm, very true.
I read tea leaves. I know a little bit about palms. I love the I Ching. Teresa just said she uses claromancy, and she calls it stone and bones. See, that's exciting.
That is very interesting. I haven't heard of that before, but
I want to know more about that. You know, the old people of my indigenous people, the Vikings, Scandinavians, use stones in bones. That was very common with runic symbols. But yeah, the old, you know, spirit people would use those
from back in the day, which was a Wednesday, to be fair. But actually, it should be a Thursday, Thursday. We definitely we're kind of going a little bit long this evening, but we still have one last card to pull for Charles before we wrap up here.
Sorry, I didn't see Charles. I was babbling away.
No
okay,
worries.
Charles.
And Charles, tonight, our last card of the evening is going to be number 28, Do No Harm and Do Right.
All right.
Do no harm and do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
I got Wheel of Fortune with that, Charles. And that's just, I think, a reminder about ambition. You know, it's... You know what I want to say to you is sometimes when we're moving ahead, especially in work or business and so on, we want to be conscientious about that, and we want to do right, and we want to do good, and we can feel guilty about other people, if that makes sense. But here's how I see it. Everybody has access to the same information. If they don't use it, that's on them. And it, you don't have to be cruel in business. You don't have to be underhanded or anything. I'm just saying that information is often on a need-to-know basis, and because there isn't enough time. The banker doesn't care if you have a dog, in other words, is what I'm trying to say. So Wheel of Fortune, get ready to take chances. Absolutely go ahead and do it in a good way.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to be fair, the banker cares if I have a dog, because they're going to hear about it, and they're either going to care because they love it, or they're going to care because they're sick of me talking about it, but they're going to care.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, this just, this hour, we've been on for over an hour. This is so much fun tonight, Michael. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. No, this has been an interesting dive into the, you know, intuitive reading process. Mm. And, you know, I don't think we really talked about what we're going to be going into next week. But, you know, as we wrap up, you know, my thoughts kind of go towards different aspects to psychic readings, different things that have happened in the history of, you know, psychics and the roles that they've played in societies, perhaps, and the different methods that different cultures have used to do readings. You'd mentioned
stones
and bones. Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
So
I'd love to.
I think...
great fun.
We're going to have a snazzy title. We're going to have some interesting you know, things to discuss, but we're going to kind of go that route next week, and I think maybe kind of even a beautiful dovetail with tonight's topic. So
the history of divination. How's that?
Ah, you got it right there. See?
Okay.
See, this is why.
We're a good team, Michael. Thanks to everybody in the chat. Thank you for your support.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your wonderful chatter in the chat. And I so hope that more people who listen in the archives can join us on Wednesday night, because it's a pretty cool group in here.
It is. So we always appreciate you catching up in the archives. But when you can join live, it makes for just a great, wonderful community. And I appreciate each and every one of you. But looking forward to having you join us next week. Until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.